Our sermon reading this morning are the words from our opening hymn, which was As Tranquil Streams. As tranquil streams that meet and merge and flow as one to seek the sea, our kindred fellowships unite to build a church that shall be free. Free from the bonds that bind the mind to narrow thought and lifeless creed. Free from a social code that fails to serve the cause of human need. A freedom that reveres the past but trusts the dawning future more and bids the soul in search of truth adventure boldly and explore. Prophetic church, the future waits your liberating ministry. Go forward in the power of love. Proclaim the truth that makes us free. The words of As Tranquil Streams. Many of our Unitarian Universalist churches like to display messages on outside signs, like we do. Many of these messages refer to our theological openness and diversity. These are messages such as freedom of religious expression and we don't need to think alike to love alike. And this one, an atheist, a pagan, and a Christian walk into a church. We call that Sunday. These sayings are ways to express that Unitarian Universalism has many paths within one faith. A few times a year, I meet with students at Lancaster Theological Seminary to talk about Unitarian Universalism, and one of the questions that inevitably comes up is how we do that. How do we minister to people with such a wide range of beliefs? How do we Unitarian Universalists function as a community with so many different ideas in our midst? I often begin by reminding them that churches in various religions have always had in their midst people of wide-ranging ideas. There have long been, for example, Christians who didn't believe in God or were agnostic. One difference for Unitarian Universalists is that we are open about these differences of belief. And more than that, we encourage them. That encouragement, in turn, does lead to our having an even broader range of theological perspectives in our religious community than exists in many others. Rather than asking all of our members to share a single belief or creed, we encourage our members to develop their own beliefs. These beliefs are rooted in their personal experiences and grounded in conversation with the religious community. I also describe to seminarians the way that our Unitarian Universalist worship services draw broadly from a variety of sources. Services are woven together around a theme, and that theme incorporates our core Unitarian Universalist values and principles and draws on the sacred sources of our faith. We weave together readings from Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam, as well as other faiths, alongside literary, scientific, and sociological thinking. Unlike most other religions, we don't have a single sacred source or text. There's no one source to turn to try to find the answers or direction. Instead, we have multiple sources that we draw from, and that means that we as individuals can arrive at some divergent answers to our theological questions. The sources support our diversity of belief. The sources affirm that there is space for my personal insights, for your personal insights. They also serve as a springboard for our ongoing learning about and exploration of other religious ideas. These sources aren't beliefs per se. The sources direct us to our sacred texts, to experience, to science and reason, to God's love, to wisdom from the world's religions, to prophetic words and deeds, to earth-centered spiritualities. And there's a lot of latitude there, isn't there? It's pretty far-ranging. The sources affirm and promote our pluralistic outlook. Reverend Bill Schultz describes this pluralism as a central tenet of ours. He says this, he says, "The mysteries of creation are so great as to overwhelm every human attempt to capture them in a single channel of religious faith. The primary source of authority in religious matters, we believe, is not the Bible or the Quran, not official doctrine or ecclesiastical officials, but each individual in conversation with tradition and in community with others." He goes on to say, "You know better than I what religious affirmations square with your personal insights and experience. To join one of our congregations, therefore, requires no assent to creed." And according to Reverend Kathleen Rollins, the sources, and these are her words, outline the diversity of religious experiences that form the basis of Unitarian Universalist faith. Our tradition, she says, is held together by our profound respect and love for these teachings and inspirations. The sources are the ideas and deeds that reflect human experience, but they also point to that which lies beyond human understanding. Both Rollins and Schultz are describing how pluralism is an essential aspect of Unitarian Universalism, and how pluralism reflects human experience and what lies beyond it. In those conversations that I have with seminarians, and they are Christian seminarians and Unitarian Universalist seminarians, mostly Christian seminarians, I am always sure to tell them that I can't imagine doing ministry any other way than the way we do it. I can't imagine not gathering with such diverse beliefs and opinions and ideas and ways of being. This pluralistic way of doing religion is basic to who we are and to how we are together. We joyfully know and affirm that we do not all believe the same way. We do not all have the same experiences or opinions. And yet, these differences in community do present their challenges, don't they? And it's good not to gloss over these difficulties that arise from our different theologies. Some of them are slight differences, and some seem fundamentally opposed to each other. And that's where I think that Unitarian Universalist community gets to be both tricky and really, really, really interesting. Unitarian Universalists are humanists and theists. We're pantheists and agnostics. We are monotheists and pagans. We are seekers and mystics and hybrids of all sorts. Lots of hybrids. In addition to the differences of those, what I call broad theological categories, Unitarian Universalist views of what happens after we die, whether humans are fated, free, or something in between, and the understanding of whether children are born imperfect, blessed, or as a blank slate are also quite varied. We differ about how we understand sin and evil, even whether we're willing to use those words or reject them entirely, and our views of God, whether we believe in a God or no God, or whether we're willing to use God language. Conrad Wright, who's a Unitarian Universalist and was a longtime professor of American religious history at the Harvard Divinity School, said that, and I love this, that part of our consensus is paradoxically what we have agreed to disagree about. It's a very interesting way to be together, isn't it? Part of what binds us is that we're different. And we agree to be different. I love that. I want to read you his longer quote, and he says that some questions, and not trivial ones only, recur generation after generation, but never find resolution. An obvious one, he says, is the relationship of Unitarianism to the Christian tradition. Is there a minister in the denomination, he asks, who has not preached a sermon entitled, "Are Unitarian Universalists Christians?" If the time should come when that question is no longer at issue, the denomination will have changed in a very significant way, he says, and I am sure that I would not be alone in regretting it. This question of whether Unitarian Universalists are Christian is not new to Unitarian Universalism and not likely to cease anytime soon. But my particular focus in this sermon and today is not for us to launch into that conversation in particular. It's not to explore whether Unitarian Universalists are or are not Christians, but instead to encourage our exploration of theological questions just like this one. When these kinds of questions are asked, when they are asked with a sincerity and a curiosity and an openness, not with a certainty and not with a reactivity and not with a sense of judgment, then our understandings of ourselves and what we believe individually and as a spiritual community will grow. In other words, it's useful for us to stop trying to answer questions like those as though there are right and wrong answers. There are just different answers. Our theological differences lead us to ask and explore why we celebrate Easter and Christmas, and perhaps more importantly, how to celebrate them. Some might long for more talk of Jesus, or more talk of heaven. And others might hope that we'll emphasize earth-centered understandings and humanist sources. At Christmas, should we honor the birth of Jesus, or celebrate the solstice, or do something else? And what do we do about the Jewish holidays and the Muslim holy days? We might ask, wouldn't it be better if we just ignored all that entirely and just skipped all of that and just talked about social justice? For some people, social justice is their spiritual commitment, their theological understanding. These questions and wonderings and perspectives can and do lead us to disagreements, sometimes heated ones. Throughout our Unitarian Universalist history, there have been full-blown controversies, not just simple disagreements, among those who held different beliefs. This has happened at the national level, and it's happened among individual congregations, and it sometimes happens among individual members. Even as Unitarian Universalists, there can be a tendency to insist on one's personal ideas and to struggle mightily with ideas that seem foreign or irrational to us, even if intellectually and spiritually this faith aspires to something else, aspires to a greater pluralism. And to avoid any controversy, I've noticed that sometimes it's a temptation not to talk about belief at all. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Or sometimes what we do is we just tolerate each other's beliefs. Toleration used to be lauded as a hallmark of Unitarian Universalism. You heard it in that UU Heritage chalice lighting this morning. But tolerance has come to be questioned in our Unitarian Universalist world because tolerance and toleration is really a weak substitute for knowing someone, isn't it? I don't want to be tolerated. Do you want to be tolerated? How do you feel about the person sitting next to you tolerating you? Or your minister tolerating you? Wow, that doesn't sound really good to me at all, right? It doesn't sound good to you either, I can tell from your laughter. And you know when you're being tolerated by someone, don't you? You know. You can feel it. You can feel it. And there's no real anything happening at that point. There's no conversation going on at that point. There's no depth. There's no knowing each other. There's no sense of enlarging the capacity for inclusion and belonging. Dialogue and appreciation are the kinds of deep spiritual work that can help move a community toward a true pluralism. Conversation and times of deeper sharing make it possible to get to know people and to begin to learn why they believe a certain way, not just what they believe. This means listening to hear the backstory, to learn about each other's upbringings and experiences, and to appreciate the ways that age and race and sexual orientation and gender and abilities and financial circumstances and struggles and achievements and failures and so much more are influencing someone's beliefs. Understanding that someone's convictions are connected to their autobiography helps to open up our conversations with one another. What's important isn't just what another person believes, though certainly that matters, but also how they came to that understanding. That's where the interesting conversation happens. When someone tells me that they believe that we live on after we die, that doesn't really tell me a whole lot about them. It doesn't tell me how it affects how they live their life every day or why it matters to them to have that belief. What interests me is how these ideas are rooted in and supported by our faith, by our community, through our conversations, through our openness. What interests me is how these ideas come together here in our community and how we can better honor them and learn from them and grow from them. It interests me how those ideas meet and merge and diverge here in Unitarian Universalism. Our opening hymn today, that hymn celebrates the meeting and merging of many beliefs in Unitarian Universalism. It's a lovely hymn, lovely words. Marian Franklin Ham wrote the lyric in 1933. And it was a way of celebrating a growing relationship between Unitarianism and Universalism. In 1960, a couple decades later, when the two denominations finally voted to merge, this song was sung at a combined worship service. And the two strands of our faith officially merged in 1961. And so this hymn, in many ways, represents that merger of these two strands of faith, Unitarianism and Universalism. And today, this hymn continues to celebrate the diversity that we bring into our worshiping and lived community. This heritage of ours, of our liberal religion, is a full-hearted, risk-taking venture into meeting and merging and diverging. Liberal religion is an invitation to us to suspend the need for a singular perspective and to widen the pathway of our shared spiritual journey. This is a journey toward freedom and toward connection. We are ever asking, how wide is this pathway we are on? How wide is the call to freedom? How wide is the call to liberation? In community, our individual and collective values are ever being re-examined and tested in the light of new knowledge and new experience. We expect that each person will build their own theology and also that they will respect and learn from the others in our community and that we will all continue to evolve our beliefs along the way. There are many paths, and yet we are one religious community. An atheist, a pagan, and a Christian walk into a church. We call that Sunday. We call that Unitarian Universalism. And to that, I say, Amen. Blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.